Thank you, Tiffany. My, my. That's a scene we're going to see one day. We're going to be there. Kind of takes your mind forward and see the greatness. We're going to see the greatness of the Lord one day. And we're going to see the final defeat of the devil. Amen. That'll be great. Well, we have the privilege tonight to have Brother Anthony Collins with us. Anthony and Christie's with us here just a couple of days. I was had the privilege to be with them up in Hammond, Indiana at the well-known First Baptist Church of Hammond. They treated me very well up there. We just had a great time, saw a lot of folks we remembered from the past. Tremendous church, tremendous ministry there. Brother Anthony and Christie had their foundation here with us, though. They were here for a number of years in our school, in our ministry here. And a few years back, I'll let him tell you how many they received the call to go up there. And God has used them, both of them on staff up there at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and doing a great job. And what a blessing it was. I've told several people. I'm real proud of them. You know, we're talking about our missionary needing prayer tonight on the mission field. We've had a lot of missionaries called out of our church on the field. We've had a lot of workers in different places where God is using them. Anthony and Christie is a couple of those, and doing a great job. I can't believe how quick the years passed from the time they were just like some of the kids around here. Now God's using them in such a way, and they're kids growing up fast. And I've asked Brother Anthony if he would to come on and preach to us tonight. He's a good singer also. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get him cornered on that before he leaves. Maybe so. But it's just a blessing to have him with us tonight. And Christy, stand up back there. Let him see you. All right. Wave at him or something. Y'all remember Christy? All right. Amen. Come on, Brother Anthony. God bless you. Preach to us as God leads you. Amen.
Thank you so much, preacher. Boy, what a blessing. What a privilege to stand behind this pulpit. I knew I was going to get emotional, so I figured I better get it out of the way. I sat back there this morning, watched the service, and heard Pastor Carter preach like he has behind this pulpit for so many years. And I watched the altars fill at the invitation, and the baptistry waters were stirred this morning. If you missed this morning, you missed a great day in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you this. In the ministry that I've been had the privilege of serving in now almost 20 years at First Baptist in Hammond and Hiles Anderson College, the Lord has given me the opportunity to be in over 450 churches all over America and Canada and Mexico. And what we saw here this morning doesn't happen everywhere. And sometimes I think we take it for granted how the Lord is still moving in a place like this for all these years. And boy, I would just encourage you, it's not like this everywhere. And those of you that have been in other churches and other ministries, you know that there's something special about Landmark Baptist Church. And there's something special about Dr. Mickey Carter and the faithfulness of this man and the testimony of this man for so many decades. And so many others in this church. I can't start naming names because I'd be here all night, but seeing Mrs. Gotch on the organ and Mrs. Johnson on the piano, and it seems like they've been there 100 years and still playing and still serving the Lord with their music. And I saw Brother Congdon driving a bus this afternoon as he was leaving with a bus full of kids. And Brother Nixon up here in the choir in his spot still doesn't know the words to the songs, but he does the best he can. As we were leaving the property today, Brother Nixon and Brother Pitts were standing down there in the bus pen, arguing and fighting with each other like they've been doing for all these years. So many others just faithfully serving God here at Landmark, and what a blessing and what a privilege it is to get to be here tonight. And my family, we don't get the opportunity to come down very often, but we're privileged to be here and thrilled to get to spend a few days at home. And we're patriots. We bleed patriot red, white, and blue. And the Lord may move us up to the Yankee North, but we'll always be Landmark patriots no matter where we go. And the influence that this ministry has had on our lives has allowed us to implant a little bit of Landmark in thousands of college students who are now serving the Lord all around this world because of your investment in this kid who lived in apartment number one across the street at Eastwood Apartments and got saved right down the row over here in what used to be the cafeteria before we had this building. Vince Button led me to Christ on April the 3rd, 1988. I was baptized right there in that baptistry by Pastor Carter, April the 10th, 1988. I graduated high school on this platform in 1995. I graduated college on this platform in 1999. I got married on this platform in 2001. And a lot of memories, a lot of great things have happened in this ministry, and I owe you a great debt, all of you, so many of you. Thank you for that. We grew up here, Christy and I did, and went through the Christian school, and I remember when we were in eighth grade, Bruce Martin had been our youth director for so many years, and now pastors up in Tennessee, but in eighth grade, we got a new youth pastor, and some of you old-timers will remember Brian Brooker. And Brother Brian was our youth pastor in eighth grade, and I remember he came in, and I loved Brother Martin, Brother Bruce and Miss Tracy, and so I was a little disappointed, to be honest with you, that they were moving away. But Brother Brian came in, and he challenged us teenagers. He challenged us that we needed to make God our God. He challenged us to develop our own personal relationship with God. Not to rely on the relationship with God that our pastor had, or that our parents had, or that our teachers had, but to develop a relationship with God that was personal, that was unique to each and every one of us individually. And part of that process, Brother Brian taught us, was to develop a relationship with God's Word. There's a lot of young people here tonight. Praise God that we have a lot of young people in church on a Sunday night. But I'm going to tell you, kids, if you rely on mom and dad's relationship with God to get you through life, you're going to fall flat on your face someday. And Brother Brian told us the first step to that was developing a relationship with God's Word. And he challenged each of us as teenagers to come up with a life verse. And I thought that was kind of a cool idea. And he said, you should pick a verse in the Bible that is your life verse, that challenges you, that encourages you, and that gives you a good swift kick in the pants when you need it every once in a while, and gives you some encouragement when you need it. So I thought, man, as an eighth grade boy, I need to come up with this life verse. And he said, besides, you got to have a life verse, because if you ever sign Bible someday, you have to have a verse to put behind your name when you sign people's Bibles. So I thought, I got to find me a life verse. So I did what you should never do. I took my Bible, not this one, I took my Bible and I let it fall open. And I heard about the guy who did that one time, who prayed, Lord, I need your leading, I need your direction, whatever you tell me to do, I'm gonna look in your Word, and whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm gonna do. And he opened his Bible, let it fall open, put his finger down, and it said, Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, well, that's obviously not right. I'm going to try that again. So he prayed, Lord, please help me, direct me, tell me what you want me to do. Closed his Bible, let it fall open, put his finger on the page. It said, go and do thou likewise. Now, that wasn't my experience, but I did let my Bible fall open that day, and my Bible fell open almost exactly to the middle. The middle chapter of the Bible is Psalm 118, and my Bible fell open that day to Psalm 119. And so I decided I was going to try to find my life verse as an eighth grade boy. So I started reading through Psalm 119. And we all know, most of us in here tonight know, that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and 176 verses. And all but two verses in Psalm 119 refer directly back to the Bible. In whether it's talking about God's testimonies, or his laws, or his precepts, or his commandments, or so many judgments, and so many ways in each and every verse, except two, the longest chapter of the Bible, which is almost exactly in the middle of the Bible, talks all about the Bible. I wonder what God thinks about the Bible. Kind of unique how that works. So I started reading in Psalm 119, and I got down to verse number 9. So open your Bibles tonight. That's where we're going to be, in Psalm 119. We're going to go verse by verse through the entire chapter tonight. And I'm just kidding. Some of y'all just had a heart attack. We don't want that. But I am going to read just a couple verses tonight from Psalm 119. I got down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And man, as an eighth grade boy, I thought, man, that's a great life verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And I almost chose that verse as my life verse. But I started thinking, you know, I'm not going to be a young man forever. And I'm not much of a young man anymore. I look around this room, and many of you are not young anymore. So I thought I'm going to keep on reading. So I went to the next verse, verse number 10. And this is, it's on verse number 10 of Psalm 119, that the Lord pricked my heart as an eighth grade boy, and I made this verse my life verse. Yesterday, we had our 25th high school class reunion yesterday. Can you believe that? 25 years since we graduated high school here at Landmark. And a bunch of us got together out in Lakeland at Rachel Pinner, at her house. And I think there was about a dozen or so of us, of our class of 18, that were able to get together. And we had a wonderful time sharing stories, some of which are beyond the statute of limitations, but we will not share them today. But we had a great time looking at old pictures and yearbooks and looking at things. And I saw in the yearbook, in the high school yearbook, and some of the places where I had signed the yearbook for Rachel and others, how I had signed my name, Anthony Collins, Psalm 119:10, way back then in high school. And still today, if I sign a Bible or when the thousands throng me asking for my autographs and throwing money at my feet, I always sign Psalm 119:10. And this is my life verse, and this is what I want to preach from for just a little while tonight. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. There's some debate about who wrote Psalm 119. I believe it was David. It's got David's personality. It's got David's touch. It's some of the ways that David spoke throughout other places in the psalm. You see that reflected in Psalm 119. So for argument's sake tonight, we're just going to say that David wrote Psalm 119. If you believe otherwise, I don't want to hear about it because you're not preaching tonight. So for our sake tonight, David wrote Psalm 119. And so as David says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I'm going to take three quick points from that, and we'll get out of here early tonight. I'm not a long-winded preacher, and so let's pray together, and we're going to dive right into this thought. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to open the holy words of God. Thank you that you inspired and preserved your word for us in 2019, that we can read and hold in our hands the very words of God. I pray that you'll help us tonight. I pray that you'll speak through me to encourage somebody and challenge somebody tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. David said, with my whole heart. So if you're taking notes and if you're writing it down, that's point number one, whole heart. He said, I want to be a wholehearted Christian. David didn't want to be in this thing halfway. He didn't want to be a 50%er. He didn't want to be 75% of his heart. He didn't want 99.9% of his heart. He said, with my whole heart. David wanted to be all in. When I was a kid, I played Little League Baseball here in Haines City. And I played for the commercial truck stop. Back in the day, we don't have the truck stop anymore. I don't know where you people eat now that the truck stop is gone. But I played for the commercial truck stop as a kid, and I didn't have the athletic build that I have today. And so, you know, I wasn't a great baseball player, but I loved being on the team because if we were wearing our uniform back then, we had white pants and we had blue stirrups and an orange shirt with blue lettering and an orange and blue baseball cap. But if we were wearing our uniform on game day, we could go to Rax. You remember Rax up here? I'm really dating myself now. I think maybe it's a Chinese restaurant or something now up here on 27. Rax was a little hamburger shop up there. And if you were wearing your uniform, how many of y'all remember Rax? Like four of us. Good night. We would go up there after the game, and if we were wearing our uniform, we'd get a free milkshake after the game. Yeah. Back then, they didn't have all these fancy flavors of milkshakes and all these Frosty Blizzard Venti Chino things that they got nowadays, all that sissy stuff. We had vanilla, we had chocolate, and we had strawberry. And that was enough for any man growing up in Haines City. We didn't need all that foo-foo stuff. Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. That was good. And so I played on that baseball team. Well, to say I played would be a stretch. I was part of the team. And so so I was there, and I was on the team there, and we would play down. You know what I'm talking about when I say stinky field? Yes. Preacher, you know what I'm talking about. That's where we play some of our games down there at Stinky Field by the water treatment plants over here on the other side of town. And we called it Stinky Field for a reason. You'll figure that out. We play our games down there, and man, everybody on the team had to play one inning in the field. And so usually it would be like the fifth or sixth inning that I would play my obligatory inning in right field. And the coach would say, "All right, Collins, get out there." So I'd run out there on the field, man, and I was so happy because I was wearing my uniform, and after the game, we were going for milkshakes. I'd be out there in right field. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I'm picking dandelions, throwing grass, and I'm thinking to myself, vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry? Which one do I? I don't know if anybody hit a ball my way. I certainly didn't make a catch. I don't have any idea what happened when I was out there in right field, but I know this. After the game, we were going to get milkshakes at Racks. And we all had to bat once. Everybody had to bat one time. So I'd play my inning out there in right field, and then I'd get up to bat. And I don't know if I ever swung the bat. I certainly know I didn't get a hit. Later on in high school, I got a little better at sports and played on the ball teams here at Landmark, and we won a few games through those years and got a few trophies somewhere in a trophy case to represent that. But back then, that didn't happen. I stood there, and I'd put the bat on my shoulder, and I'd look at the pitcher, and I'd smile. And it would always frustrate him, you know? You're smiling. I don't know, again, if I probably struck out every single time because I didn't care. I wasn't in it to win it. I was in it for the milkshakes after the game. I'm telling you, you got it. Milkshakes. And I'd stand there and I'd be thinking, vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry? Man, I had the uniform on. I would go to practice, and I would show up for the games, and I would sit in the dugout, and I would play my inning out in the field, and I would take my turn at bat, but I wasn't all in on that baseball team. I wasn't a wholehearted baseball player. I could care less about baseball. All I wanted was the milkshakes after the game. I was not a wholehearted baseball player. And now we find ourselves at several few years later, and we come to church and we wear the uniform, and we show up and we sit in the dugout, and we do our obligatory inning of singing a congregational song, and maybe we take our turn watching the buses come in or do something, but we're not all in. We're not wholehearted like David said. He said, with my whole heart, I want to be all in this thing of Christianity. I want to be a wholehearted Christian. I don't want to be a half-hearted Christian. I don't want to be a 99% hearted Christian. I want to be a wholehearted Christian for God. I've had the opportunity to travel with some of the singing groups for Hiles Anderson through the years, and my kids are here tonight. My son is 9 years old now, and he's a little hyperactive. He gets that from his mom. I've always been calm, cool, and collected. Christy can't even spell collected. So, no, my son gets his hyperactivity naturally from me. When I was a kid, my mom used to say, she'd say, "Anthony, someday God's going to use you. But until he does, take this pill." And so, that's how I grew up. My son inherited that gene from me. We were traveling in Colorado, and we were driving from Denver, Colorado, to Grand Junction, Colorado. It's about an 8-hour drive over the mountains, over through the Rocky Mountains. And my son was like 4 or 5 at the time. And we were driving. We had a long drive. We left early that morning. And we got about to the halfway point, which is Vail. Vail, you've probably heard of Vail, is a pretty famous skiing town. It's about 11,000 feet elevation. It was snowing when we got to Vail, and I remember that very clearly. And we got there, and it was time for lunch, and so we stopped at McDonald's. And so my son always ordered the same thing at McDonald's, a 4-piece chicken nugget Happy Meal with French fries and an apple juice. That's what he got every time. Not anymore. Now he gets the 10-piece chicken nugget Happy Meal and eats me out of house and home. But 4-piece chicken nugget Happy Meal, French fries, and an apple juice. We got our food. We got back in the vehicle. We started taking off over the mountains. And we're going up and down the mountains and around the corners and around the curves. And we were going to a little town just outside of Grand Junction called Rangeley, Colorado. And we were on our way there. We got off the interstate and we're weaving through these backcountry roads in the hills of Colorado on the western slope of the Rocky Mountains. And you hear those words that every parent dreads to hear when they're driving down the road. I think I'm gonna be sick. So my wife springs into action. She's got this giant plastic bowl that she keeps under the seat to catch it, you know? And so she gets it, and she's like, Michael's like, I'm hurrying, buddy, it's okay. And then all of a sudden, from the driver's seat, you hear it. And chicken nuggets and French fries are flying all over the inside of the van. My wife's trying to catch it in the bowl as we're driving down the road. The college students that were in the vehicle with us, they're taking off to the back seat because they don't want to have anything to do with it. And I'm just trying to get us to a gas station in the middle of nowhere to clean it up. And Michael's puking everywhere. Now, when you're puking, you are all in. You don't care what you look like. You're not taking selfies. You're just praying to the porcelain god. And you're holding on for dear life. Selling Buicks. Buick as hard as you can. And you would not be surprised if you saw your shoes coming out of your mouth. You're just trying to get through this thing. Now, when you're in that, you don't care what people think about you. You don't care what your hair looks like. You don't care what your makeup looks like. You are focused wholeheartedly on one thing and one thing only. And that's the kind of Christian I want to be. Wholeheartedly focused on one thing and one thing only. Him. David said, whole heart. Don't hold anything back. Give it all to Jesus. But Jesus, you can have everything, but you can't have this because I work hard for this and this is mine. I'll throw a few bucks in the offering plate, but that's it, man. This is mine. You can have all of me, but you can't have this. This is mine. You can have all of me, but you can't have this. Because what I do on here is my business and not yours. Man, the wickedness that can fit in this little box right here that we carry in our pockets and we're not willing to give it all to him. And so we get controlled by this. Whole heart. Number two. Whole heart. Number two, seek God. David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Seek God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But what we find ourselves doing is seeking after the things that we want and still expect all those things to be added unto us. And he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. He's going to give us everything, all the desires of our heart anyway. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But we delight ourselves in what makes us happy. We live in the I generation. We have iPhones, iPads, iTunes, I everything. How many of you have an iPhone in here tonight? Come on, raise your hand. All the college students put their hands up. Bless their hearts. Not me. I'm still Android. Amen. You have an iPhone, Brother Parsons? Can I see your phone? You got it with you? Look. Oh, sorry. Oh, look at this. I want to show you this. Sorry, here. Look at that. You know what that is on the back? That's an apple with a bite taken out of it. What does that remind you of? Huh? I'm just saying, maybe the Antichrist is coming in through the Apple Corporation. I don't know. Not me, bless God. I'm part of the 144,000 Android users, and I'm good to go. I heard Steven Anderson say that one time, so it must be true. I just stuck that in there. The pastor would say, help yourself out there, Radioland. But we live in a generation where it's all about me. What makes me comfortable? What makes me happy? I need to have my code word and my safe space because I've been offended. Seek him. Even Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not what Jesus himself said, not my will, but thine be done. Seek God. What are we seeking after tonight? Fame, popularity, money, a bigger house, a nicer car, fancier clothes, more likes, more followers, more tweets and chirps and squawks and selfies and how many people can love my Instagram story and all these other things that are out there and Snapchat this and that and all that garbage and foolishness that's out there. We're more interested in other people looking at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, and we're not looking at him. Whole heart, seek God. Point number three, and I'll be done. David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Point number three, don't wander. Don't wander. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That great song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Prone to wander. We're prone to stray. Yes. We were at the Grand Canyon a few years ago, and it's another Michael story. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? If you ever get a chance, oh, a lot of you, great, fantastic. We were there at sunset one year, a few years ago, and we wanted to go see the sunset over the rim of the canyon. And so we got there, and we were looking for the right spot, you know, where you could see the sun, because it's the north and the south rim, so you kind of have to go around the edge to see where the sun would set over the western side. And so we found this place, and, you know, when you go to the touristy areas at the Grand Canyon, they got all the railings and all the protections and to keep stupid people from falling off the cliff. But when you get off the beaten path, there's no more railings. And so you're just standing there, and it's like you and death. Right in front of you. So when you're there with a five-year-old, you're a little bit paranoid. And so, you know, my son's a little hyperactive and he likes to wander, so I'm holding on to Michael's wrist as hard as I can to keep him from getting too close to the edge. And we're walking to go see the sunset over the Grand Canyon, and we've got my wife and daughter and some college students with us, and we're walking out there, and I'm holding on to Michael's wrist, and there's a big kind of a rock, I don't know, maybe 20 feet or 25 feet out there, and I'm holding on to his wrist, and I'm holding him way back here away from the edge. And he's pulling against it, wanting to get as close to the edge as he can. And I'm like, Michael, no, stay back here next to Dad. It's going to be safe. But Dad, I can't even see the canyon. It doesn't matter. Stay back here by me. It's going to be nice and safe. I'll protect you. I'll watch out for you. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to die. Stay back here by Dad. But no, I want to get a little bit closer. No, stay next to the Father. He's got you. He's going to take care of you. No, but I got this. I'm okay. It's my life. I got it. And that's what we do. We wander away from the Father. And we get so close to the edge that we slip. We have a life-altering event because we wander, because we're prone to wander. You know, we see this generation of young people wandering, changing their beliefs and changing their music and changing their Bible, and I just got finished reviewing a book, a brand new book getting ready to come out, A Biblical Approach to Music, written by my friend, evangelist Caleb Garraway. He does a fantastic job laying out a biblical approach to music and explaining it, unbiased, tons of scripture, and it's amazing to see how music has changed our generation. How music has changed our churches. And I oversee the music department at Hiles Anderson, and it's part of what I work on every single day to keep a taut line and not allow us to get so close to the edge that we might slip and fall over. And if there's one thing I appreciate as much as anything here at Landmark is that line has been towed for 49 years at Landmark Baptist Church, that music, we're still singing old-fashioned hymns like Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and we're still singing old songs like The Judgment. Thank you, Tiffany, for singing my song right before I preached tonight. I sure appreciate that. I always sing that song when I come home, but I won't be this time. Thank you very much. Where is she? Where's Tiffany? She slip out? She left? She's out back smoking behind the dumpster? Okay. She did a beautiful job. But I appreciate the fact that the old standards are held high at churches like Landmark Baptist Church. I was in a hotel lobby in Gastonia, North Carolina a few years ago, and I was there on a Sunday morning getting ready to go preach in a church there, and I was eating a bagel and drinking a cup of coffee in the lobby, and Al Roker is a Good Morning America news reporter. Most of you know who he is, and he was on there, and he had visited the week before a big mega church that had opened in our country, and he was reviewing it that morning, and this is the way Al Roker described his experience at that church, and I'll never forget it. It's seared into my mind. These are his words, a direct quote. He said, "It was a sights and sounds extravaganza that rivaled any rock concert." Yeah. And you watch that pastor on TV. A sights and sounds extravaganza that rivaled any rock concert. You want to talk about wandering? But we're all prone to it, unless we make a conscious decision not to. And the best way to keep from wandering is to stay as close to the Father as you possibly can. We were at the Grand Canyon. We didn't want Michael to wander. I grabbed his wrist and held on as tight as I could. And you know, the Bible talks about how the Father, that Jesus puts us in his hand and himself in the Father's hand, and he's not going to let go. Now, we're going to try and pull away, and we're going to try and wander away from that, and we're going to see our lives destroyed because of it, but he's not going to let go of you. You're the one that's going to have to walk away from him. Don't wander. We bought one of those leashes, those kid leashes, put over the shoulders and around the waist and between the legs, and we're leading our son along like a little dog to keep him from going over the edge because he likes to wander. Sometimes I find myself doing the same thing. About 2 months ago, I was in a very difficult place in my life, and it was a Saturday. We'd been dealing with some stuff at home and work, and college was getting ready to start. And man, I just felt like I was all alone. And the Lord just impressed on my heart that I needed to go get away and spend some time with him. It was raining that day. And I got in my van, and I told Christy I'll be back in a couple hours. And I grabbed my Bible, and I got in my van, and I just drove out to the south part of our county in the rain, and crying and praying and arguing with God and yelling at God and him yelling back, not verbally, but opening his word. And I was reading through the book of Luke at that time and reading some verses in the book of Luke, and I got out and started walking on a trail. Nobody was out there. It was the middle of the day in the pouring rain. I was soaking wet, just crying and praying and begging God, "If I can't do this with you, I don't want to do it at all." And all of us get to that point in our lives where we just feel like we're out there all by ourselves because we've allowed ourselves to wander. David said, "Whole heart, seek God, don't wander." Whole heart, give him everything you've got. Hold nothing back. Be an all-in, wholehearted Christian. Seek God. We find ourselves seeking after the things of this world, the recognition of the world, the appreciation of the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be different from the world, but we try to blend in. I don't want to blend in. But man, sometimes I need a good swift kick in the pants and a reminder, you're not supposed to blend in. You're supposed to be different. And don't wander. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know which one of those points the Holy Spirit said, that's for you. I know for me, even preaching this sermon tonight, the Holy Spirit reminds me of some things that I need to deal with in my own personal life, in my own relationship with God. And I'm reminded back to what Brian Brooker said in eighth grade. I can't rely on my pastor's relationship with God. I can't rely on my families or my friends. My wife is the most spiritual person I know. And I can't rely on her relationship with God. I got to have my own. And so do you. So where are you at tonight? Whole heart. Seek God. And don't wander. Preacher.
Let's bow our heads and let's stand to our feet. Brother Anthony left us with a question. Where are we at tonight? What a tremendous message speaking to us. We understood it. It got on the inside of our feelings. And yes, we'd all have to confess, like the songwriter, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Perhaps tonight would be a good time for us to make a recommitment. Lord, my whole heart's in it. 100% for you. Father, forgive me every time I'm tempted to stray. Lord, help me to remember that the cliff is in front of me. The devil would like for me to fall off. He'd like to destroy my life where it would not mean anything for Jesus. Folks, this was to us that are saved. We know we're born again. Know if we died tonight, we'd go to heaven. But are we wandering away from the Lord? Oh, the truth is, it's so easy to let the flesh get in control. So easy to let it out argue us and tell us what it wants to do instead of what we know is right. I challenge you tonight, think on this message. Think on it. I think it was the great evangelist of days and gone by that made the statement that God does not have to have a particular man to serve him, but he has to have all of that man, all of him, whole heart, whole desire. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be so ashamed to find out there we were. We were kind of outside on the parking lot instead of really coming in, getting close to the Lord. You know, I've seen people come to church that way. They were here physically, but they were not here 100%. Could be you tonight. Could be you've come to church a lot and you've heard about Jesus and how he loved you and died for you. Never let him be your Savior. Never given him your whole heart. Never come to him. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we ask somebody to come down the aisle, we're asking them to openly confess the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll do them no good if they don't believe it in their heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Perhaps tonight, as we sing just a verse of invitation, the Lord has said, you know, that's you. You've been window shopping. You've been looking through the glass. You haven't come on in. You're hanging around the parking lot. You haven't come on in to me, and tonight would be a good time for you to come to him. Make sure you've given him your heart. What a powerful message for us. Now, what will you do with it? Brother Bert, would you lead us an invitation song? Will you come as we sing? Has God spoken to you tonight? What's he asked you to do? Many of you already been to the altar. Did you do business with God? Real business? Whole heart? What's God asking you to do as we sing?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
That song says it very well, don't it? I'll surrender 50%. No, it don't say that, does it? 99%, no. I'll surrender it all.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Collins, for that message, for speaking to us, communicating with us like you did. And I believe the Holy Spirit communicated with us too tonight, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Brother Parsons, would you share what you have there, please? Yeah, go ahead.
You may be seated. All right, we have a couple things to share with you. Noah Hipley, if you'd come up here tonight. Noah got saved this morning and desires to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen? And we also have, is it Joinskia? Janesha, all right, thank you. I should have let you said it the first time. Come on and stand with us. And she got saved in camp, I understand. And is following the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. And we also have Ryan Sigmund. He came in a little late to college, and we're just getting this done, but he desires to move his membership. Amen. And praise the Lord. We need to take a vote on these folks to join the membership, some by baptism and by statement. Amen. And so, Carrie, you guys go ahead over around for baptism. And Ryan, if you want to get a dunk too, you know, I know you ain't had the bath in a while. No, okay, I'm just kidding. All right. I think, Brother Bert, you need to lead us in something.
All right, 137 in your hymn books tonight. 137, take the name of Jesus with you. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Amen. 137.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give. Oh, precious name of Jesus. How it thrills our soul with joy when His loving arms receive us and His songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name.
Acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bear in the likeness of His death, raise in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. Of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bear in the likeness of His death, raise in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life.
Well, amen. Do we have somebody to stand back up here tonight? All right, yeah, let's all stand. You can come by and shake hands with these, and we're glad to see these follow the Lord in baptism. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're glad to have you. Hope you'll come back and be with us. Again, we appreciate Brother Collins and the message tonight, and you folks, we know them from way back. Shake hands with them. Let them know that we are proud of them. Amen. Proud of what God's been using them to do, and they've been doing a great job for the Lord. All right, Brother Parsons, anything else? All right. God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody.